you've been here for a little bit, you know we've been talking about healing, and tonight we're going to continue that with talking about living in divine health. We've talked about how healing is found in redemption. Amen. You don't have to go anywhere but the cross to find redemption, and in redemption we find healing. Amen. You like how I saved that one? That's where we find it, right? It's found in redemption. Just as sure as you are of your salvation, you can be sure that you're healed, because healing is found in salvation. We've discussed how to receive healing. Talked about how to have faith, how to release your faith to be healed. And in the same way that you got saved is the same way that you appropriate the benefits of salvation to receive healing from God, because it's already been provided in redemption. And then we talked about some reasons last week why Christians are sick. Wrong thinking, right? Wrong believing. Wrong speaking. And I don't know if she got to wrong behaving, but that affects some of us as well. God desires that we live well. God desires that we live long, that we live long and prosper. Anybody ever heard that? There you go. God desires that we live long and prosper. Even more than Dr. Spock, God desires that we live well, that we live long. We live long, satisfied lives. And I believe the opportunity to live in divine health is available to every believer. I can't stand up here and teach this message from the standpoint of an expert. And thank God we're not going on my experience. Amen? Thank God we don't go on your experience when you share the scriptures with people. We don't go on our experiences. We go on what the Word says that we can have. We go on what the Word says about who we are. We go on what the Word says about what we can do in Christ. Amen? So according to the scriptures, and I hope to lay a clear foundation for this, a clear basis for this, that God desires that we all live in divine health. That divine health, and let me just define this for you. Divine health is living free from sickness and disease. And I'm not talking about a super drink that you have to drink every day. I'm not talking about something that you have to pour into a container and gulp it up. I'm not talking about a pill you take every day to infuse health and life into your body. I'm not talking about an infomercial to get you to purchase a placebo of any kind. I bought these things before. I mean, they can be enticing, right? Like you're staying up, especially if you're like up till 3 a.m. and you're in college and you're a little overweight and you're thinking, how can I get the ladies? And you look at the pills and you think, well, this is the way to lose weight, right? This is the way to lose weight. This is the way to be healthy. And so that's one of the pills I bought right there years ago, the acai berry extract pill. Anybody ever heard of it? Thank God that you haven't, because it was a gimmick. It was a gimmick. I didn't lose weight by taking these pills. I didn't feel healthier by taking these pills. Matter of fact, I forgot to take the pills most of the days. You understand what I'm saying? Living in divine health has nothing to do with the amount of vitamins that you take. Amen? I mean, I thought that getting all your veggies in a day, in a day that's in a shake, that's supposed to make you healthier. I mean, most of these things are gimmicks, right? Not all of them. Maybe they do get your vegetables in a day. But none of these is the secret to living in divine health. None of them. The only thing that offers divine health is a divine being, God Himself. God's best is not just to heal us when sickness comes on us, but to keep sickness from ever attracting itself to our bodies in the first place. That's God's best. That's God's best. Not that we just receive healing, but that we walk in divine health. Like I said, we're not going on my experience. Thank God. We're not going on your experience. I can't teach from an expert of having walked in divine health all my life. I can't stand up here and say I've never had a headache, thank God. That would be awesome if I've had the ability to say that. But I'm telling you, I am a work in progress, just like you. Amen? If that's your testimony, that you've never had a headache or never had the flu in your entire life, praise God for it. I believe that's God's best for us. I believe we can get there. The scripture says this in Psalm 105, talking about the children of Israel in verse 37. It's just recounting some of their experience through escaping Egypt, going through to the promised land. It says, He also brought them out, talking about bringing them out of Egypt, brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among His tribes. If the children of Israel can leave captivity in Egypt and not be feeble or weak, then I believe God has just as good or better for us. Doesn't He? Doesn't He have better for us? As children of the new covenant, as people of the new covenant, there was none feeble among His tribes. Again, let me reiterate that Jesus provided healing for our physical bodies in redemption, just as He provided eternal life. Just as much as God wants us to go to heaven when we die, He wants us to live well here on the earth. Famous scripture around here is John 10:10. He wants us to live the abundant life. And I believe an abundant life is free from sickness and disease. I mean, in your definition of abundant life, do you include, like, you know, get a headache every now and then or catch the flu every now and then, but God will heal you? Like, my definition of abundant life doesn't include sickness or disease. Does yours? To me, it doesn't speak of sickness and disease, talking about the abundant life. The Apostle John wrote in his book, 3 John verse 2, he said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Psalm 91:16 says, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." We do these confessions sometimes at night. I'll put Karis to bed, and Karis, my daughter, is 6 years old. And so we'll do these confessions, and we've been doing them for years. Like, you know, I just say, "Hey, repeat after me." And one of the things that we end before we go to bed, "I will live a long, satisfied life." And so when she was like three, she was repeating this, and she would say it, "Long, satisfied life." And it was like words jumbled together, running together. And it was quite comical. And then at one point she kept saying this, she's like, "What does that mean? What does that mean, Daddy? I live a long, satisfied life." You got to say it like that as a three-year-old. Satisfied, satisfied. What does that mean? Well, God wants us to be satisfied. He wants us to, the word satisfy means to fulfill your desire. God wants to fulfill your desires, your dreams, your hopes, your dreams. He doesn't want for you to leave this life early. That is never God's plan, for a person to be taken young. You understand what I'm saying? God is not responsible for that. We have an enemy in this world. This comes back to the wrong believing thing. Like, have you ever been to a funeral of a young person, maybe in their 20s, got in a car accident or whatever, and the minister gets up and says, "Well, they just needed another angel in heaven," or, you know, "it was just his time." Wrong. The devil's mean. That person didn't live a long, satisfied life. The devil's mean. He's in the killing and destroying and stealing business. He stole their future. He stole their life. And it's tragic. And we shouldn't ascribe those things to God, because His desire is that we live long, satisfied lives and we live abundant lives. That's God's best for us, isn't it? How do we do it? How do we live in divine health? We have to abide in the Word. John 8, verse 31 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed.'" And then He ends it with this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What truth are we talking about? The truth that you can live in divine health, the truth that your needs can be met, the truth that it's God's will for you to prosper, the truth that it's God's will for you to walk in divine healing and wholeness. All kinds of truths available in the Scripture. If we know the truth, we agree with the truth, we internalize it, and then we externalize it by saying it out of our mouths, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. So as we abide in the Word, we come to know that we come to know about God's health plan for us. Knowing the truth sets us free from the bondage of sickness and disease. And it is bondage, isn't it? There are things that you're incapable of doing when you're in pain or when you're sick. There are things that you can't do that you would normally do. It's bondage. It holds you back. I tore my ACL back in December of last year, and it hindered me. It hindered me from doing some things that I would normally do. And even in May of this year, 5 months after the surgery, I wanted to do the Marine Mud Challenge. I had done it for the past 3 years, and it was exciting, and I enjoyed it. But I was in bondage. because my knee wouldn't do what the rest of me wanted it to do. You understand? That's not God's plan. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." There is life in the word of God. There is healing in the word of God. Proverbs 4:20, and I'm reading a lot of scripture to you tonight. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes." Just listen to the strong language here. Give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Think about that. But how often have we got our eyes on other things? How often have we let our eyes depart from the truth and we've looked at our circumstances? And we've given more attention to our circumstances. Oh, my body's hurting. We've given more attention to our circumstances. Oh, I'm in pain. We've given more attention to our circumstances rather than the truth of God's word. The fact may be that I'm in pain. The fact may be that I am hurting. The fact may be that symptoms are trying to come upon me. The truth is that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. The truth is that I'm whole and well because healing is found in redemption. Amen? Do not let them depart from your eyes. Don't take your eyes off of the word. Don't take your eyes off the word and look at your circumstance and look at your situation and say, well, this is just how it's going to be. This is just how it's always going to be. Don't let the enemy trick you and deceive you into thinking that. Yeah, you can say, yeah, right now, the fact is I'm in pain. We're not telling you to deny the facts. Faith is not denying the facts. Faith is agreeing with the truth of God's word despite the facts. Amen? Anybody believe in faith tonight? Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Life and health. Not just healing. Not just when you get sick, healing's available. But health is available for you to walk in complete wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. This is God's desire. And it's found in His Word. The pathway is found in His Word. Amen? Give your attention to His words. It's not just doing a quick, you know, 5-minute Bible study in the morning when you woke up and check that religious box off. Meditate on the Word of God. Let it fill your life. Let it get down deep into your heart so that when the facts rear their ugly heads, you'll say just like Norval Hayes said when he looked at the red in his check ledger and said, "You're a lie. You're a lie, you're a lie, you're a lie." You'll look at the symptoms in your body and you'll call them what they are. That's a lie. That is a lie right there. Pain, you're a lie. You're lying to me right now. This isn't the truth. That's not who I am. Weakness, you're a lie. I am strong in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Can I just encourage you tonight? You can walk in divine health because there's health and life in the Word of God. Give attention to it. Like I said, not just a 5-minute Bible study. You read your Bible plan for the morning and then off you go and it goes in one ear and out the other. You scan the page and you're thinking about everything you have to do through the day, so you're not meditating on anything. Yeah, you've checked off a box. You just read. Anybody do this before? Have you read like pages and pages of stuff and then like you look back and what did I read? You have not retained any of it because your focus was elsewhere. You can do that even reading books of pages of a book, even the Bible. I've done it. I'll be the first to admit. Yeah, it's easy to do that. You can listen to a message. You can be in a room listening to a message and your mind be elsewhere. Give attention, he says, to my words. Not just reading, not just checking off the box, not just sitting there, not just saying, hey, I was in church Wednesday night. When sickness comes knocking at your door, what are you going to say? Well, I was in church Wednesday night. Is that how Jesus fought off temptation? Well, I was in the temple the other day, devil. Did that work? Would that work for him? No, what did he do? He spoke the word of God because he had hidden it in his heart. Because he paid attention to it when he was in temple. when he was studying the scrolls, when he was studying the scriptures. He gave attention to it. He didn't let it depart from his eyes. And that's what I'm saying. Don't let it depart from your eyes. You can look at, you can scroll on your screen. You can look at your Bible plan. You can read the scriptures and you can let it depart from your eyes before you even finish your plan, before you even finish your scripture. Give attention. Give attention. Give attention. The word is the most valuable asset in your life right now. Amen. Do you realize how valuable the word? For there's life, for there's health to all your flesh. When you go to your medicine cabinet, it should be full of Bibles. It's better than medicine. This is God's medicine. The first thing you resort to isn't the hydrocodone. The first thing you resort to isn't the ibuprofen. The first thing you resort to is, I could list a ton of medicines that I've taken lately. That's not the first thing you resort to. When you open the medicine cabinet, pull out the scripture. It's valuable. How often do we take it for granted? How often do we take the word for granted and we don't even realize what's available to us? Life and health. Life and health. And yet we'll read it or we'll not, or it'll sit on a shelf and just collect dust. I hope that's not your testimony tonight. I hope the other's not your testimony. That's your giving attention to it. That you don't just read it and let it go, you know, just reflect off of your retina. His word produces life in you and health for your flesh. Meditate on it. Speak it. Let it get down deep on the inside. Some keys to living in divine. One of the things that really struck me a couple of weeks ago when Pastor Susie was preaching. I know I've heard this before, but something maybe I let slip. Is she said, I want to get this right. We should resist sickness in the same manner that we resist sin. Because both are works of the devil. Oh, that's so good. So one of the keys to living in divine health is don't let sin reign or have its way in your body. Let's read Romans chapter 6, verse 12. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, because this is who you really are. As being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Sickness can gain a stronghold in your life through sin. Do you know that sickness was birthed by sin? There was no sickness in the earth before sin entered the world. Sin gave birth to sickness. Sin gave birth to poverty. Sin gave birth to death. Sin is how sickness entered the world. Stay away from sin. Stay away from sin. Stay away from sickness. You'll stay away from sickness. Stay away from its origin. We're dealing with, a lot of times we try to deal with a symptom of a problem before we ever deal with the root of it. Stay away from sin. Because we know the wages of sin is death. Sin kills. Amen. So I love that. Adopt the same attitude towards sickness that you have towards sin. Let's resist it. It's a work of the devil. And what did Jesus come to do? He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy sin. And so we're big. The church is big on Jesus coming to destroy sin. He died for our sins. He was crucified for your sins and for mine. But we fail to realize that not only was he crucified for your sins and for mine, but he was crucified for your sicknesses and for mine, because sickness is the result of sin. So when sin comes knocking at your door, when sickness, just in the same way, when you resist temptation to sin, you should resist the temptation to accept sickness when it tries to jump on you. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give any place to the devil. So run it off immediately when it comes knocking on the door of your life. James 4:7. Let's camp out here for a second. You guys know it, and a lot of times it's quoted just the latter part of the verse, resist the devil and he will flee. But it says, first of all, submit to God. We just submit ourselves to God. We put ourselves under His authority, because apart from His authority, we have no ability to resist the devil and run him off. But it's because of His power and authority that He's given us, as we submit to Him, we're able to exercise that authority and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So let's do a little language examination here. In the Greek, this word resist is anthisteme. 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 And it's interesting because it comes from the Greek word anti and histeme, which sounds kind of like antihistamine. Right? You see that? And it literally means to stand against, to vigorously oppose. And this is quite opposite than being passive with something. Right? It's being passive, saying, okay, well, it'll just run its course. You know, I've heard people say that. People in the church even. Like, they'll encounter sickness or the flu, or that stuff's running through my house. You know, my kid's got it. Next thing you know, I'll get it. My husband's got it. And they say, well, we'll just let it run its course. That's passive, right? Let's just get out of its way, let it go on through. You know, if it comes to me, then it'll run through me. And I don't want anything running through me, okay? All right. This is how my house was growing up, okay? So this is something, a mindset that I've had to combat over and over, because my mom's, God bless her, she's a natural caretaker. She didn't grow up understanding and knowing what's available to us in the Word in this sense. And so when sickness would come, we'd get the flu, or we'd get sick or whatever. It was like, you know, mom's going to do whatever she can to help us, to comfort us. Anybody have a mom like that? It's good to have a mom. She'll make you the chicken soup and put the blanket on you and get the cold rag on your head. And I remember this, and just lay in a bit like, yeah, that's me. Not a real picture of me, but that could be just as much be me. And like, if you didn't want to go to school, you could just hold the thermometer up to the light bulb for a little bit and, you know, put the heating pad on your head, and you could trick her really well, because she was so sensitive to that and just would coddle sickness and disease. I mean, when we had our tonsils out, we ate ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, like even past the recovery time. You understand? Ice cream. Yummy. So this mindset is something I have to combat. Well, what was your house like growing up? Did you get some sympathy? Did you get some empathy? Or was your house more like a military boot camp? I mean, did they say just throw up and get over, probably your house, throw up, get it out, go to school? That may seem mean, but I tend to go on the other side of things now with my family. And it's not that I'm mad at my kid or whatever if they're sick. It's that sickness isn't going to have its way in my house. Resist. Stand against. Vigorously oppose. Not, just come on in. Think about this. Imagine you're in bed at night and you hear a strange noise outside your house. It's loud. Wakes you up immediately. Like, you're groggy initially. You start rubbing your eyes a little bit. But as you rub your eyes, you hear hushed voices downstairs. You realize that somebody's in your house. Somebody that shouldn't be there. Like, what's your expression? What's your reaction? Do you invite them in to offer to bake them a pie? Come on in. Have a seat. Sit a spell. Or do you introduce them to Smith and Wesson? This is me when any noise I hear at the house. I don't have a gun, but I will go 007 on you. I do have an airsoft pistol, and it will hurt when I hit you over the head with it. If it's a burglar, you're going to stand against. You're going to vigorously oppose something that shouldn't be there in your house. Yet so many times when sickness comes knocking on your door, you just welcome it like a long-lost friend. You come on in. Let's lay on the couch together. We'll grab some tissues. We'll binge-watch a whole entire season of Empire on Netflix. Come on over. Is that how we treat sickness? Is that how we treat disease? What do you do? I'll tell you how you know how you treat sickness and disease is, what do you do when you get sick? Do you lay on the couch with your tissues and start watching Netflix? You call in sick to work and say, I can't come in today. I got the sniffles. What's on? What can I catch up on my Hulu today? Don't let it depart from your eyes. Well, don't let what depart from your eyes? The word. What are your eyes departing from and to? And is that building your faith? Ouch. Ouch. Sickness is a burglar crossing the threshold of your body to steal your joy, your comfort, and even your very life. Why would you welcome it as if it belongs there? Resist. Resist the devil and he will flee. Stand against, not passively oppose. Okay, I don't really like what you're doing there, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Passive aggressive behavior does not work against sickness. It does not. It may work with your spouse, but it doesn't work with the enemy. Resist. Resist. Vigorously oppose. Be assertive. Be assertive with the enemy. No, you don't belong here. Sickness doesn't belong here. Jesus paid much too high a price for us to accept sickness as if it belongs. Let's put some more value on his death, burial, and resurrection and what he's purchased for us. This isn't a gift like your grandma's ugly sweater that she knitted for you. The gift that Jesus gave you is much more valuable than that. It's precious. Not something that we should take for granted or treat lightly. The thing that he's offered us, the abundant life, freedom, living in divine health. So fill your mouth with God's word concerning healing and long life. How do you fill your mouth with it? Well, you have to fill your heart with it. You have to meditate on the scriptures. You have to study scriptures. You have to go back and listen to the podcast of the past three services and get that on the inside of you so that it naturally comes rolling out of you. I mean, if you got the Smith & Wesson right underneath your bed, access at any time, you want to have the same thing, access to God's word, like at a moment's notice. You know where it's at. You know where it's hidden. You can reach it. You can access it. You can gain it. You can pull the trigger on it at any single time. Amen? Use your mouth to call life in your body. It's like, I don't really know a lot about guns. I mean, the first time I shot a gun was last year or the year before. I went with Matt and some guys to the shooting range. I guess they think because I have daughters now that I need to learn how to use a gun. Thank you, gentlemen. I look forward to more lessons. After the bruise on my shoulder, you know, finally healed up, I was ready for more from the shotgun. Proverbs 18:21, though, says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Load yourself with God's word. Like, the word of God are like bullets in a gun. But speaking God's word is like pulling the trigger. Speaking the word of God is like pulling the trigger. The power is contained in the word of God. The gunpowder is in the bullets. You understand what I'm saying? When you pull the trigger, it activates that power in your life. All right. A lot of stuff here. Praise the Lord. So those are some keys. You gotta fill your mouth with God's word. You've got to resist sin. You got to resist sickness as you would sin. Don't let sin or sickness have a place in your body. Fill your mouth with the word of God. Execute the word of God. Realize that waiting on the Lord, ministering to him, is going to strengthen you. You can find strength in the presence of God. You can find strength. The word says the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Isaiah chapter 40, it talks about renewing your youth like the eagles. Mount up on wings like eagles. Amen. That's, there you go. That's Psalm 103. That your youth is renewed like the eagles as you fill your mouth with good things. Amen. Here's a good one. Joy, singing, and laughter all have a healing effect on your body. don't worry. Be happy. Be happy. I think a great movie that illustrated this. One year I was sick and I was coddled up in, on the couch. And I was watching this great movie, string of movies even. This one stood out to me. That's not a true story. I'm just saying that. Anybody seen the movie Patch Adams with Robin Williams? Great film that kind of illustrates this principle. Even the medical world understands this, that joy and laughter have a healing effect on the body. Patch Adams was actually about a real guy named Hunter Patch Adams. He understood this concept. So they took note of the fact that a merry heart does good like a medicine. You often hear people say laughter is the best medicine. Well, really, laughter isn't the best medicine, but it does work. God's word is the best medicine. But God's word does say that a merry heart does good like a medicine. Did you know that depressed people are more susceptible to sickness and disease? There's this book by Norman Cousins called The Anatomy of an Illness, and it illustrates this quite well. In it, he talks about how laugh therapy and conventional medicine cured him of a chronic inflammatory disorder characterized by crippling arthritis and severe pain. So he lived well and merrily into his 80s. He amazed his doctors with a miraculous recovery in 8 short days. Here was his self-prescribed therapy. Every day he watched funny stuff such as Candid Camera, The Three Stooges, and The Marx Brothers, and his pain began to diminish. And ironically, doctors had initially given him little hope for recovery. He said he would die early. But he watched The Three Stooges. The doctors say that during laughter, muscles throughout your body tense and relax in a way that is strikingly similar to stress reduction techniques. It keeps muscles supple as well as relaxed. It's also been shown to stimulate the immune system. Now, this is medical science that would agree with the Word of God here. And I would say that if the Three Stooges can make you feel better, the power of God should make you fly higher than ever. You understand what I'm saying? But there is power in joy. There's power in having a good attitude. And I'm not talking about just being positive, but the reason that we're positive, the reason that we can be joyful is because of the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Put a smile on your face. I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Worry doesn't add anything to your life. Don't worry. Be happy. Be joyful. For some of you, it would do you good to lighten up. It would do you good to laugh a little. It would do you good to watch the Three Stooges. Philippians 4. I need to tell more jokes. Philippians 4 says this, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anybody know any hypochondriac? Like people that think that they're sick. So here's a joke here. Hypochondriac convention, same as last year, everyone called in sick. That's the hypochondriacs for you. Every ailment is not cause for a trip to the emergency room. There are people I know that every little thing, we got to go to the ER. We got to go to the emergency room. Every little thing. So Karis, she's my 6-year-old, she got a paper cut the other day. And you would think that she broke all the bones in her body because of her reaction. It's a little paper cut. And mind you, paper cuts hurt, right? They do. They can be painful. But she's screaming bloody murder. I need a baby! Take me to the doctor! She's freaking out. And we just can't help but, like, laugh, you know? What would you do? We think it's, look, another episode of the Three Stooges. We're thinking, how ridiculous. That is just blown out of proportion. You know, I know people that may go to the ER for something like that. Like, I need stitches. I have a paper cut. And so we had to calm her down a little bit. Well, no, it's a paper cut. But it hurts! She's freaking out. And so we pray over her. You know, not necessarily for the paper cut, but just for peace. Like, calm yourself. The paper cut will take care of itself. I mean, ew. I ain't worried about that. It's like, we all need some peace in this house. Some sanity. Please. Like, it went on for, I kid you not, it went on for at least 30 minutes, the screaming of her paper cut. I'm like, no, we're not going to the emergency room. We're not going anywhere. Suck it up. Stick the Elmo Band-Aid on and you're going to be fine. Here, say this confession. I'll satisfy life. She was fine. The paper cuts healed. We didn't have to go to the ER. But there are people that everything is a cause to worry. Everything's not a cause to worry. Just settle that fact in your mind right now. And this is a natural thing. Like, everything is not an emergency. All right? If ever you encounter something like that, the best thing for you to do is just take a deep breath. Relax. Breathe easy. Find some peace. Don't be anxious. What does it say? Don't be anxious about anything. But instead, present your request to God. And that's the moment you gather some peace and you pray. And then it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And that's what we need. That's what we want. That's what that can help us make a quality decision. That's what we can, that can help us tap into the grace and the mercy of God and the healing power of God. If you are crying out in an emergency, just out of panic, I don't think that's faith. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's a fine line between just being frantic, you know, being frantic just for frantic sake because you get frantic about everything, and then being in faith. We're going to have to calm down. We have to remind ourselves, wait a second. What does the Word of God say? Wait a second. What does the Word say I can have? Let me give attention over here. Wait a second. The enemy's trying to cause some turmoil. The enemy's trying to frazzle me up so I get out of peace and get my attention off of the Word. That's one of his tactics, isn't it? The art of confusion, the element of distraction. That's one thing he's very good at. But if we're going to walk in health, if we're going to walk in healing, we have to know what he's up to, don't we? We have to recognize it in the moment and say, wait a second. This isn't what God's plan is for me. And so let's go back. Oh, I got a couple more things. In the moment, then we have to resist, right? Let me just remind you about resisting. To be aggressive. B-E-A-G-G-R-E-S-S-I-V-E. Be aggressive. Be aggressive. Be aggressive isn't just to cheer at the football game. It's about you resisting the enemy. Amen? If that pops in your head when you're tempted to coddle some sickness, then by all means, let it remind you. Okay. Glorify God. Your body is meant to glorify God. You're meant to glorify God with everything that you do. Everything that you are is meant to glorify God. So remember that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So one key to walking in health and healing, don't allow habits or behaviors that are ungodly in your life. Just like sin, gives way to sickness, don't allow those behaviors in your life. Having sickness in your body brings no glory to God, does it? Doesn't glorify God that you would be sick. I think Pastor Susie talked about this. Like, you know, Lazarus' resurrection, like his sickness, his death wasn't glorifying to God. His resurrection was to bring glory to God. So remember that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then let's end with this one. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. At 8:11 p.m., no coincidence. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Jesus needs your body to live in as much as you do. Did you know that? You are His hands and feet. You are His voice to a lost and dying world. How can you adequately give life if you're suffering in pain and sickness and on your way to death? He needs your body. So He wants to give life to it. He wants to bring life to it. He wants to, because He dwells in you. He lives, you are His home. You are His home. So use His power to resist and be aggressive against the burglar sickness that's trying to enter His home. Amen? Let's just read that scripture one more time and then we'll close. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you.